I'm not saving any time because I don't floss. What I'm saying is I would like to reap the benefit of flossing. <Yeah.
laughs> Hey guys, so thanks for joining us for another exciting episode of the First Podcast. My name's Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today.
We used to have the guest start the episode.
Oh, right. We do normally have the guest. What the fuck is wrong with me? So we do normally have the guest start the, sorry. Jesus. We normally have the guest start the episode. Jesus Christ. Lars, take it away.
Go ahead, Joe. Just lead him in.
So we normally have the guest start the episode. So take it away, Quentin.
This is the first podcast. It's the oldest one. Here we are.
Hey, Quentin.
Yeah.
I'm Lars from the First Podcast, and this is Joe from the First Podcast.
My name's Joe.
And this is Quentin Reviews from the YouTube channel Quentin Reviews. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
On my channel, I talk about pop culture. Sometimes that's films, television shows I grew up with, or YouTube channels. I have a popular series called Fallen Titans, where I talk about YouTubers who were big in the olden days of YouTube and then slipped off into some other world. And I post a couple times a month, and that's youtube.com/QuentinReviewsKitchenSinks.
Why do you call it reviews? Like, why is it not just like Quentin?
I always get asked this. I called myself Quentin Reviews, because I made the name up when I was 15 and I was very narcissistic. And I couldn't have a YouTube channel if it wasn't my name.
Sure.
I like it in a way because it can be whatever I want it to be. You know, it's supposed to be like it's my name, but it's also like the start to a sentence.
Yeah.
You know, so like when the old videos would be called like Quentin Reviews, the Fairly Odd Parents movie, something like that, you know, so that it was a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bunch of things, but I chose it specifically to serve a bunch of different purposes.
We were talking before the episode, we were saying, like, it would be weird if, you didn't review stuff, but that was still your name. And just that it's like a very appropriate name, because, like, that's kind of what you do. I'm Quentin and I review. So, ooh, that rhymed.
Yeah. Unlike Jax Films, who has never made a movie in his entire life. I'm calling you out, Jack.
All right. Well, shots fired, I guess.
It would be like if my name was Joe, I don't know, something like Joe Reviews, but I don't review.
Joe's not good on the spot. That's the problem there.
Yeah, I get asked about that a lot. A lot of people, because because I make so much different kind of content,
mm-hmm.
there is some split in my community over what's the best. A lot of people like it the most when I do like skits and parodies. And so they're like, are you going to stick with Quentin Reviews if that's what you do, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I guess so. I guess it's set mm-hmm. in stone, you know?
Well, would you consider reviews the cornerstone of your content, or is it just whatever?
It depends on how I feel, I guess. I mean, right now I am working on like 10 different review videos, but people have joked that I don't even do reviews anymore. So it depends what I feel like doing at that particular time. But yeah, I would say that Quentin Reviews has got to be doing some reviews, even if he's stretching the limits of what that word means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever considered dropping the reviews altogether? Maybe some point in the future?
I have, but I mean, that's always a big issue with branding. That's one of the reasons that Channel Awesome fell off so hard, other than all the other stuff.
They stopped being awesome?
They used to be thatguywiththeglasses.com, then they changed to channelawesome.com, and like no one could find them. So they lost a lot of traffic. Yeah. So, you know, if I were to do something like that, it would confuse a whole lot of people.
It'd be like Doctor Who without the Doctor.
Yeah, it would just be like Doctor Who. Like, you couldn't Google it.
It would be like if The Office came back for, like, another season, but they just called it, like, The Workspace, and no one knew it was the same show.
Well, I mean, a good example is there was a Doctor Who spinoff a couple years ago called Class.
Yeah.
But no one watched it because, like, none of you guys have ever heard of that, I'm sure.
I have heard of it because I'm a, you know, rabid Doctor Who fan, but yeah, I guarantee 99% of people haven't. So
my point is, you can't, when you type in the word class into Google search, you don't get the TV show Class.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who fans don't find it because they don't search Class to find their show. But I've often thought, like, my real name is Quentin Hoover, Quentin Kyle Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought, I have this secret dream that one day, you know, I'll do YouTube for like 5 years and then I'll be like, and now I'll be in Avengers movies or some, you know, not literally that, but I've always wanted to be an actor in some way. So I've often been thinking recently, like, what alias should I come up with that kind of sounds like Quentin Reviews?
Mm-hmm.
Like, should I be Quentin Richardson or
Quentin Subdues?
Quentin Rivera. Something like that, you know what I mean?
Quentin.
You could always be Quentin Hoovers and just review vacuums. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could go. Yeah. By the way, I went ahead and looked up Class, and the first thing that comes up is the definition of class. So that's...
Oh, yeah, there you go. There
that's
you go.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, why the hell did they name a TV show Class?
Why didn't they call it, like, Doctor Who Class? Like...
I mean, first of all, that show barely has anything to do with Doctor Who. That was a ripoff.
Ah, okay.
But let's forget about that.
Oh, did you watch it?
Doctor Who 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I thought about doing a video about Class for a while, but that's the thing. Like, I'm so wired on making YouTube videos that will do well that I don't know how to make a video about that show where people will click on it or people will search for it, you know?
Yeah.
It'd have to be something clickbaity, like the worst teen show. And then the first 10 seconds of the video is like, that was clickbait. It's not the worst teen show. It's just bad.
Well, I mean, if you got to get them to watch the video, though, I mean... What can you do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the dilemma.
The chat is suggesting that I need a boom for my mic, as well as a small Chinese boy to hold it. That's weird of you guys to say. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Where are you reading that? In the general?
No, I'm reading that in recording chat. You know that, Joe. Also, by the way, if you want to get weird, awkward messages from members like Soviet Spy in our recording chat, you should go to discord.t1podcast.com to check it out. We record all these episodes live. Yes, discord.t1podcast.com.
.com.
Anyway, that's a little bit about who Quentin is, and a little bit about who we are, is we kind of like to ask a lot of really weird hypothetical questions on this show. And are you down for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Was that one of the hypotheticals?
Yes, that was the first hypothetical. You passed, good sir.
I guess technically it definitely was. Okay, let's go.
Hypothetically speaking, what if it wasn't?
Ooh.
What if it wasn't a hypothetical? You're blowing my mind right now.
Damn, son.
Boom.
Okay. All right.
Fucking roasted.
Here's the first hypothetical. Okay. So let's suppose you're put in a room with a computer and fast internet access. You're allowed to fill up a fairly large notebook with any information that you want. But in 24 hours, you're going to be transported back in time to approximately the 1400s. You can take the notebook with you, and let's assume that you're not going to, like, die immediately from diseases or whatnot. Do you think you could take over the world with the information in that notebook?
I think about this so often, like,
good.
Like, if you got sent back to the time of, like, the Egyptians.
Yeah.
But, like, and, like, you were like, electricity is going to be a thing, but you wouldn't know how to do it. He would be like, I saw in this episode of Back to the Future, the animated series, you can power stuff with limes, but, like, not good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't build anything you can power with the limes. Also, none of you guys speak English. I think the best thing I could do would be to explain to the pharaohs what incest is and how it's killing them all off. You know, explain to them how genes work.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my God. So a notebook that I fill up with information... I have 24 hours to stock myself with information from the internet, which I can then use to take over the internet, take over the world in, what do you say, the 1400s?
And the internet, I guess, if you invent it at that point, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I invent the internet, that's true.
Yeah.
But you'd have to know how.
I'd have to know a lot. The first thing I would do is I would Google the hell out of the 1400s, because I am pulling a blank on whenever that was.
It was right after the 1300s.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Right before the 1500s. Good on you. Was Shakespeare a thing back then? You know, that
not yet. Not until the 1600s.
Yeah, not quite.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, so that's the first thing I would do. I would understand what the 1400s was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, the question is so good, because I don't think I'm smart enough to, like, build. I guess I would build a time machine.
Okay. Can you do that now, though? Because that's like...
No, I can't. That's not on the internet. I guess my answer is that I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I've always said if I did have a time machine, and, you know, they say if you had a time machine, what would you do with it? And I've always wanted to get a time machine and go back and save, like, lost media, you know?
Mm-hmm. Save lost memes?
Lost media, you know?
Okay.
Like old films that are supposed to be great but don't exist anymore. Or old films that are supposed to be bad but they don't exist anymore. Both of those are equally valuable.
Yeah, like the old Doctor Who episodes that have been lost to
time.
Yeah,
that's actually, I didn't want to say it, but that's what it is. That's what I meant. I'm going to save old Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
Would you try to visit your ancestors?
Would I try and visit my ancestors?
I think Futurama told us why that was a bad idea.
Racism you don't want to know about?
Yeah.
The most I would do is I'd probably meet my great-grandfather. Because I remember being around him and he was, you know, I liked him. So I'd probably go see him again. He died when I was very young.
Oh, okay. I feel like that's pretty common, yeah.
I wouldn't be like, I gotta go meet this man that took over America or whatever. Or, you know, there's probably a lot of dark stuff in my lineage that I would not want to visit, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I feel like if you go back before, like, the 1920s, you're running into dangerous territory. Although, I guess you could potentially, if you were, like, a good, like, speaker, you could potentially influence some of those opinions a little earlier. I don't know, like...
Honestly, I mean, when I've thought about going back in time and changing stuff, I've never thought about trying to take over the world. I've always thought about, like, what if you just went back and you, like, told them that 9/11 was going to happen? Stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know? That sounds like a way better thing to spend your time doing.
Wouldn't that create a paradox, though?
What, that you...
Because...
Well, like, you tell them that 9/11's going to happen, so then they're like, who did 9/11? And you're like, oh, it was people
from the Middle
East.
No. It's like where you tell them it's going to happen, so they prevent it...
Yeah, you tell them it happened and now there's no timeline where... Well, then what you got to do is you got to build some sort of brainwashing machine and convince your younger self that 9/11 was real. And then you use that right before the time machine thing. And so then he goes back in time, it stops 9/11, fully believing that 9/11 was real. Or it's multiverse theory, which is boring. Let's not even talk about that.
No, that's not.
Let's move on very quickly.
The moment that sentence comes into the conversation of time travel, the conversation is terrible and it's time to abandon it.
Yeah, but speaking of other things, Joe, that start with M and are much better, I think we should talk about our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Are you talking about Mint Mobile, the amazing phone service? Or
yeah, that's
are you talking
what
about
said,
Mint
Joe.
Mobile, the chocolate chip ice cream?
That's funny, Joe. Mint Mobile is a mobile network that piggybacks off of T-Mobile, buys the service in bulk, and passes the savings on to you. And
let's do that again so that we don't have like a final cut that's you're floundering more than I usually flounder.
I'm not floundering at all. Let's move on.
Mint Mobile.
Yes, go ahead.
Mint Mobile piggybacks off T-Mobile's wireless service in order to provide you the great service at a low, low price of only $15 a month, maybe 20, maybe 30. But if you get the $30 a month package with Mint Mobile, it's probably going to save you like $1,000 a year, maybe. Like, check it out.
Yeah, that's actually not inaccurate. I'm a customer myself. I just bought 6 months of Mint Mobile for like $120, $150. It's nothing. It's like it's so affordable that a lot of our guests on these episodes have been like, oh, I should go check them out. And they should.
Not that $150 is nothing. You could spend $150 on like a lot of things, like 1 month of Verizon.
Yeah, exactly. So why not consider it? I would go to mint.t1podcast.com to check it out. Might as well.
And then after that, go to nord.t1podcast.com.
Well, we'll talk about our second sponsor later. Let's not barrage the listeners with that, Joe.
Sorry for barraging you.
Okay, Quentin, we're done with that quick ad read. Let's move mm-hmm. on. I have a question about pop culture for you. And I think you probably, of all people, can answer this. Okay, so consider the song Doin' Your Mom by Fatty Spins.
Yes.
Which I was unfortunately reminded of when I watched your Ray William Johnson video. The moment you played a clip from it, my entire soul started screaming out in pain. My question about that is there a single piece of internet media history that you think has aged more poorly than that song?
Than Doing Your Mom?
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone can watch. You know, I wanted to say Fred videos, but actually they're not that bad, sadly. I play specific clips of him that are really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
because it proves my point that old YouTube was like, why was this popular?
Exactly. Yeah.
That it was like that. But I started watching a bunch of them while I was working on that. And for single videos, they weren't that horrible, you know?
Mm.
It was just the phenomenon that's so strange.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
In terms of.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Oh, it just doesn't belong in modern YouTube at all. Like, if it started today, it would not work whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he was in a movie or two. I've seen the movie. It was horrible.
I saw the movie at the time. I thought it was really bad. The damn joke caught me off guard. That was the only thing that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then they milked it to the point that it wasn't funny at all.
I feel like if you watch a lot of his videos, though, like, it would start to, like, grind on your soul, even if they're not that terrible. I don't know.
I disagree. I think it's... I have a friend that watches Family Guy a lot, and I'm like, how can you watch Family Guy? And he says, well, it's like background noise. You know, it's just on. I feel like that's almost what Fred is.
Oh, you can kind of tune it out?
Yeah, like, if you'd seen enough of it.
I guess if that's the most glowing thing you can say about it, though.
Sorry to go on that tangent. The question was, is there anything in the on the internet which has aged less well than Fatty Spins?
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking of all these different examples that haven't aged well, but they've all aged badly for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people I've been thinking about doing for a while is I want to do like a KSMG episode. KSMG was the Stan Lee of YouTube. He had like behind the scenes roles, and for that he had a billion cameo appearances. And I wanted to interview him. I wanted to actually get the scoop on, like, you know, he was one of the founders of Maker Studios. I wanted to be like, what was your plan there?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to actually get in contact with him, which is why I keep pushing it off, because I haven't tried to get in contact with him and I don't know how hard it's going to be.
Maker Studios was the same as the station, right?
I think so.
They sold.
All I know is Maker Studio was founded by like Philip DeFranco, KSMG, a bunch of other people. Oh yeah, yeah. And then now Disney owns it and they call it something else, I think.
Shay Carl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Disney bought it for like $500 million. Each of the original founders got like Lisa Nova, Shay Carl, they got like 40, 50 million.
Yeah, and to spoil that video, if I make it, that's probably the reason he doesn't make YouTube anymore. Because if I suddenly was like a millionaire, I would not be doing YouTube still, I'm afraid to say.
Oh.
I would probably take like a couple years off. Well, I mean, I would do it.
Travel or
I'd
something.
I'd do another
yeah,
4 months of content. Oh, but anyway,
where would you...
go on.
You guys are being so polite to each other.
I brought him up because there's like, he did like this porn star interview show, which is like the weirdest goddamn thing you'll ever find. Because he's half playing a character, and occasionally they're like really tone deaf moments. Like there's a moment where like a porn star is describing how she was like molested as a child.
Ooh.
And he's like, he's like doing some horrible character bit where he's pretending that he's like, tell me more. And it's like, oh, God.
Oh, God.
That wouldn't fly today. So that's something that doesn't age well. And
okay.
I think of Asdiff movie, which is also did not age well, but is not on the same, like, category of not aging well, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything that, like, that gives you a more visceral reaction, though?
I see. I've gone on a lot of tangents here. You're asking me about something where the moment you see it, there's, like, a psychological click.
You're just like, oh, God, that existed.
Oh, God, yeah. And I don't know if there's anything worse than Ray William Johnson. You've got me there. And not even just his music. I mean, like, clips of his show.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, there's a black guy outside this Kroger. And, black guy. Like, that's his show. It's
that's
the most visceral. Like, what the hell is this?
I think that's great example, by the way, of the pre-ironic versus post-ironic thing, where it's like, that's just like an entire genre of how things work that just, like, you can't do today.
Yeah.
Or successfully, at least.
I think Annoying Orange is also up there.
Oof.
Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Here's how YouTube has changed. YouTube used to be just, like, a very honest, non-algorithm-based representation of things getting popular. And what that meant was all the popular people were up there because of some explosion or trend.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the reason that the Annoying Orange was up there is because, like, his videos got linked into, like, email chains. Like, my my middle school teachers would show us his videos. It was such a big, like, honest social thing where everyone was like, you got to see this particular video. And then videos like channels like Lonely Girl 15 were national headlines. So, of course, she became the most subscribed YouTuber at one point. And today, everything's like, there is like a system that YouTube has put into place where they're trying to promote YouTubers who will force their audiences, who will encourage their audiences to constantly be on the platform, constantly consuming YouTube media, not just as a standalone form of content like the new television. And the people who can make YouTube potentially the most money are the ones who are pushed the hardest. And I don't know if that's I think that's a little bit worse, because that's when you get like all YouTubers for a while, all YouTubers were Let's Players, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because you had to post every day to satisfy the website. And
yeah, I mean, Jake Paul said it best. It's every day, bro. I mean, that's, he was yeah, speaking the words of a prophet.
I guess my point is, like, even if old YouTube with like Fred and Annoying Orange, it's like really embarrassing and cringy and like basically like looking at like an old photo of yourself from middle school. Oof. Even if it's all those things, I still sort of respect that a little bit more than just all these YouTubers who have been actively promoted because they make YouTube the most money and thus they're being pushed to be the biggest people, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm changing my answer, by the way, to that question, which is, I just remembered that Annoying Orange did an auto-tune version of Friday by Rebecca Black.
Oh, yeah. I wish you'd brought that up at the start. Then we wouldn't have had to have that conversation. Yeah, that's way worse. Didn't I use that in one of the videos because I love finding those clips, like the doing your mom thing, where it's just like a 5-second clip that just makes, that is so horrible that the viewer considers closing my video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Annoying Orange Black, the Annoying Orange Friday.
It's just incredibly
bad. What are the lyrics? It's like, it's Friday. He has fries.
Yeah, I think the lyrics go about how, like, it used to be Thursday and it's going to be Saturday soon, but for now it's Friday. Like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But
I think the joke in the Annoying Orange version is that he's hanging out with a bunch of fries. He has a bunch of French fries.
Oh,
that's the joke.
God. Okay.
So yeah, that's pretty bad.
That sounds great. What, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
He's gonna put that on repeat for the rest of the night.
The Annoying Orange Friday.
The term Annoying Orange is a good way to describe you. I think I'm gonna start calling you that. Okay.
This is great. What are you guys talking about? Oh, I'm gonna post a link.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
This is
no one
great.
Wants to actually watch that. Please, no one in the chat actually click that. Don't give yourself the cancer.
We should replace.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. This is awesome.
Words sometimes slip my mind. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
We should replace Rick Rolling with that video.
It's just hateful. It doesn't just annoy people, but it pisses them off just to hear it. Yeah. Do you think Rick Rolling is ever going to come back?
It is. It has come back in the
it never went away.
Because, I see it at least twice a year. And for an internet meme to see something posted unironically twice a year, that's pretty good. The best I can think of...
Yeah, it does have a pretty long shelf life.
The closest I can think to that would be that I do see the Annoying Orange constantly, but it's being used by people who hate the Annoying Orange. Have you seen the Shut Up Liberal meme?
Yes, I've seen that.
It's commonly used by left-leaning individuals. And yeah. It's a badly JPEG depressed photo of the Annoying mm-hmm. Orange that just says, Shut Up Liberal. So stupid. It always makes me laugh.
People keep trying to post the Annoying Orange videos in the chat and they keep getting deleted. Thank you to whoever's moderating that. I appreciate it.
It was just me posting them and then deleting them.
Thanks, Anna.
Well, that solves,
I'm moderating myself.
That solves a mystery.
Yeah, okay. Mm. All right, so this just popped into my head. There's a lot more to get to, but I just remembered. You're the can guy, right?
I am the bonbon.
The jar guy.
I'm sorry, my cat is... playing with my Ooh. Laptop, and I'm like,
what's your cat's name?
Bon Bon.
Bon Bon?
Yeah, I'm gonna grab her.
Bon Bon?
Good yes. cat?
Bon Bon. She's named after a character from the anime Get Backers.
Is it a good cat?
She is a good cat, but she's also a big naughty cat. Yeah.
Ah.
She's a naughty cat.
Ooh. I see.
Here now. What was the question?
Oh, the question was, you're the jar guy, right?
I am the how to open a tough jar guy, yeah. Which, I don't think anyone actually remembers that. I think it's only recognizable as me telling people that it was a thing that happened, you know?
Yeah. I hear that, like, what you did in the video is actually, like, mechanically more effective, by the way. Like, you're not lying. Like, that's actually, like, a good way to open a jar.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty consistent. I mean, if you just... Yeah,
I think Joe's googling it right now.
Do you want me to tell the story of how that video happened, or
I'm going to ask you an honest question here? Do you want to tell the story, or do you not want to? Because we can move on if you don't care to.
I'm not embarrassed by the story. I think the story's funny. It's just I also mentioned in a recent video, so I didn't know if you cared.
Well, not everyone who listens to this podcast will have consumed your content.
Yeah, that video didn't perform well. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. Okay.
Okay.
So. Hold on, my cat is struggling to get away. So I was making spaghetti for my family, and I was struggling with the jar, and I opened it with my left hand, and I realized that that's the secret of opening jars, because the jar, when you open it with your right hand, it's just like such an awkward way that you've twisted your hand around. You don't have quite a good grip. She is messing with my laptop again. So
she is naughty.
So I realized your left hand is just designed to open the jar much better than your right hand. And then I started thinking about how much of like a husband quality that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quality that like a husband would have.
Yeah.
Like you would be a good father if you can open a jar for your kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just developed that quality in real time. And then I imagined someone at a bar and that's all the game he's got. And so he's walking around the bar and he's like, hey, do you want to see me open a jar?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I immediately ran downstairs with the other jar of spaghetti and I filmed that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I waited a month and I posted it and it did not perform well. Then a month after that, it went top trending on Reddit. And the comments were so surreal because people were like, this was trending on Reddit, and I saw that it told people how to open jars, and me and my grandmother were just talking about that. And so I showed her the video. This should have been a not safe for work warning, because the video, if you haven't seen the video is me opening this jar, explaining how to open a jar, opening the jar, and then going,
now you too can fuck as many bitches as I do.
Yeah. So it was, so people were like showing their families this with no idea. No idea. like bringing their 5-year-olds out, like, here's a good lesson for you, son.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna put the cat in the other room. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Say a bunch of horrible stuff that I'll be able to hear.
Okay. Anyone have any like rude remarks to make? Because now's the time to make them. You know what? That Quentin guy, he's a little much. You know.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a fuddy-duddy, you know?
Yeah, it kind of gives me a strange vibe.
You guys went too far. That was too far.
I called you a fuddy-duddy.
Oh, you could hear
me. I'm sorry about that.
That was rude.
Oh, I have a question for you.
I was kidding. You don't really give me strange vibes.
I have a question
vibes.
For Quentin, by the way.
Okay.
Have you ever used that line?
To pick up chicks at bars?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I can't say that I have.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not the kind of the guy that's, like, going out to bars every weekend, but I imagine if I would, that someday I'd be like, I'm just going to try it. Yeah. But no, I have not. I'm not, like, a super social guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't strike me as someone who goes out to the bars every week. You strike me as the kind of guy who, like, stays home to watch cool stuff, like...
To watch people going to the bars from across the street. With a pair of binoculars.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Jesus, Joe.
That's it. You've got me.
Did you?
Okay, so.
I have a question. So, Quentin, did you ever know that you're my hero and everything I would like to be? And here's where I'm getting with that.
What is he doing?
I can fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. That's it.
Is that a song? I can't. Is there a rhythm to that you could repeat it with?
There's a song.
Oh, okay. I'll trust there's a song.
Betty Midler.
Gotcha.
Isn't it pronounced bet?
You got me. That was a sick reference.
Nicely done, Joe. Referencing the divas as always.
Find a good Rick and Morty quote to follow that up with.
The wind beneath my wings.
Oh, hey, can you settle something for me, Quentin? Okay, so like Joe's been talking on our Discord for like the last week about how he apparently wants to have a goth phase. Is this advisable or not? I'm really like advising heavily against it.
Okay, so how old are you?
27.
Okay, don't phase.
Editor's note, that was a recording error. Quentin said not to do a goth phase. I wanted to point this out because Joe don't do a goth phase.
I would consider at the very most like a punk phase, but the kind of punk phase where it's just a specific kind of 80s jacket.
Thank you.
And
that's
maybe
fine.
Like,
thank you.
Do that.
I'll
and
do
then
that.
Get some big buttons to put on there with like anarchy symbols on them. And let that way you'll let the vampire shit out slowly, you know. Just let it all breathe.
That's a good idea. So I'm making a checklist. I need to get some boots.
You're gonna check it twice, Joe? Like what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm gonna check it. Yeah, I'm gonna shut the fuck up, Lars. We're having a discussion over here.
Well, here's a general rule. So there's a movie called Terminator. There's a movie called Terminator Genesis. Those two movies have one scene which is shot slightly differently. In the movie Terminator, you see three punks in the punk scene standing outside of like this museum or something, and the Terminator shows up and he kills them. In Terminator Genesis, the same scene happens, but the Terminator gets distracted by the older Terminator, an older Arnold Schwarzenegger, who kills the first Terminator, who's younger. Now, so the point I'm getting across here is, interestingly enough, in the 80s Terminator movie, the punks are not accurate to the 80s punk scene, but in Terminator Genesis, a movie from like 2015, they are. So what you want to do is you want to watch those two scenes, the two different versions of that scene, and just randomly grab things from both versions, because like you can get like an accurate 80s punk jacket from one of those scenes. You can also get a character who has like a tire track tattooed onto his face. So you could do like a mix of those two aesthetics. Like real punk from the 80s and cartoon punk from the 80s. That's what I would suggest. You need to look like somewhere between you're in the Sex Pistols and you're a villain in Captain Planet. Go for that.
Sex Captain. Got it.
Sex Captain Joe?
Okay. That's what I got from that whole
thing.
By the
way, thank you for being very honest about the goth thing, because a lot of the members of our Discord, they do that kind of thing where it's like, you know, the Discord is about our show, so they kind of are like, yeah, you guys do what you're excited for.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, you should definitely get, like, a My Little Pony waifu, because I would like that to be on the podcast that you're dating a cartoon character you made up.
Perfect. Yeah. Joe, I think some of the people who have said that you should do that specifically just want you to have an embarrassing moment on the show, just warning you.
That's fine. I don't care.
Okay.
I want to be enabled.
Quentin.
Yes.
What would be your useless superpower?
A superpower that I have, which is useless.
Okay, let's define useless. Useless can be something that's like either
it's useful, but I can't use it to save the world.
Well, yeah, it's like very marginally. It's like the ability to seduce hats, or like.
Okay, so here we go. I got
gain
this.
A penny
I got this.
A day.
You ready?
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The power where I just point like my finger at you or at myself and there's like a zap that comes out of my finger and you don't have to floss that moment. I've gotten rid of everything that would have been gotten rid of by flossing in your teeth. It's all gone. You don't have to floss. So I wouldn't have to floss. I would just like point at myself and then boom, like all the gunk's gone from my teeth. I'd have perfect teeth and I'd never have to floss.
That would be very useful though.
Yeah, but not for saving the world. I'm not... Lois Lane is still going to die when she jumps off that building. I'm just not flossing anymore. I think that should count.
It would still be a little useful.
No, I'm kind of agreeing with Quentin here. Like, flossing doesn't take that much effort, so you're saving, what, like, a minute?
I'm not saving any time because I don't floss. What I'm saying is I would like to reap the benefit of flossing.
Yeah. Do you have another one that is just, like, completely useless, that, like, doesn't do you any good whatsoever?
First of all, before you answer that, the chat is saying, "Wow, Quentin doesn't floss." Okay, fuck off. Like nine out of ten of you don't floss.
I'm messing with him. I mean, I probably don't floss enough because you're supposed to floss like 10 times a day. I floss whenever I like brush my teeth, but
I only floss 5 times a day. My gums are always bleeding.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually a sign you don't floss enough, you know.
That's why I don't hang out with you in person, Joe, because of all the bleeding.
What I do, and maybe I'm doing this wrong, is I take the floss and I put it in between my teeth and then I push up against my gum like as hard as I can. And
yeah, that's
basically
not directly what you're supposed to do, but I mean, you're building endurance, I guess.
Making your gums like bleed proof eventually.
Little gum left.
Okay. Tension aside, go ahead.
If I was going to have a superpower that would be like, could I have a superpower that like slightly annoys someone, but like
very slightly?
So like, what if like I had the superpower to like my worst enemy, I move everything in the room like 1 inch to the left, or like half, like 1 centimeter to the left every day? I would like to do that. I would like to know that someone I hate, they're being bothered by my might just enough that they can't figure out if I'm doing anything.
Wait, yes.
Well, technically you have that power now if you break into their house. I mean, we're talking about like mystical stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not breaking into their house. It's like telekinesis, but I can only move things like 1 centimeter a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So well, like, what if you had to move something and it's something that's too heavy, so you space it out over a year and you can move it 52 centimeters. That's still mildly useful.
Yeah, I guess if I wanted to like prank the statue of liberty and just like knock it into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
can
do it
so
over
you
the course
cause
of
mass chaos.
This whataboutism
this
is really getting me down with this theoretical question. Now I'm like, I'm going to be like, what if I had a superpower that turns all my plaid shirts like a different kind of plaid? And you're going to be like, I don't know. Oh, that's
I don't know. What if
you, you now have a bunch of different shirts. You can just own 5 shirts. You have like 1,000 shirts.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah. The chat, by the way, is saying that I encourage break-ins. And I mean, yes and no. At the end of the day, it's up to you whether you want to break the law. Like, I can't take responsibility for what you do in your spare time. Let me just put that out there. Moving on. Joe, can you take the next one?
Yes.
Oh, Quentin, are you doing okay? Do you have time for like another hypothetical?
Yeah. I mean, hypothetically, I do. I don't know. I was.
Oh, hypothetically,
you
do.
I'm sorry that my tone was so weird there. When you said, "Are you doing okay?" I got into like a really dark place for a second, and then you were like, "You want another hypothetical question?" And somehow that made it worse. But go on.
Okay, Joe, you want to read this one?
Yeah. So, a novel titled Interior Mirror is released to mammoth commercial success, despite middling reviews. However, a curious social trend emerges. Though no one can prove a direct scientific link, it appears that almost 30% of straight men who read this book immediately identify as homosexual. All of these men credit the book for helping them reach this conclusion about their orientation, despite the fact that Interior Mirror is ostensibly a crime novel with no homoerotic content and was written by a straight man.
What is that?
After a while, it becomes quite clear that this is not a large-scale joke or trolling event. It seems the book has a way to genuinely influence people's orientation. Upon finding this out, do you consider reading the book?
What?
That's it. That's it. I'm not sure why Lars wrote that. Do you want me to read that again?
I'm just processing it all in every way. I'm just so there's a book that has nothing to do with being attracted to men.
No.
And when you read it, it makes you attracted to men.
Like 30% of the people. Yeah.
Oh, 30%. Oh, so there's like a 3 out of 10 chance that it'll make me attracted to men. So it's like, oh, so yeah, then I would read it because it's not changing me. It's just helping me discover more about myself.
Right.
So I would consider that less than it. So it doesn't. It's not 30% of the men who read it are changed to being gay. It's 30% of the people who read it are like, I'm attracted to men and I've been this whole time and I only just realized it because of this book and now I understand myself better. So why would it? I would just be happier. That's fine. Yeah.
You discover something about yourself and get some answers.
Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I thought he was implying that it was like changing your DNA, and I was like, what the fuck? But if it's just helping me understand myself, then who cares? Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Why not?
Yeah. And speaking of things that people should do, Joe, NordVPN.
Brilliant.
NordVPN. You ever go to the airport terminal and you go to use your computer, but you don't want it to get a virus because then you'll be fucked? NordVPN.
You ever get nervous at the local Starbucks when you see those Watch Dogs 2 hackers kind of lurking and you're wondering if they're going to try to steal your data?
And they are.
Yeah, and they are. But how about a slightly more relatable situation as well? Let's say that your internet is throttling you.
And they are.
There's a good way to get around that, but I can't for the life of me tell what it is.
I remember.
But we have to do it in the same voice.
Oh, Quentin
and
remembers.
What if your internet's throttling you? And you want to get around it.
What?
Why are you saying it like that?
Because that's how we have to say it. That's like the...
NordVPN.
Happy birthday, NordVPN. NordVPN is a virtual private network that can take care of all those problems and more. Joe.
Yeah?
How much does NordVPN cost a month?
Ooh, I know it's a really great product and everything, but it's actually quite reasonable, Lars. It's only $4 a month.
$40 a month?
No, four.
Four?
But I think they just lowered it to three.
Three?
Yeah, three.
Wow.
I'm not fucking with you either, Lars.
Oh, good. That would be really inappropriate to do on an ad read.
Yes.
$3 a month for NordVPN? Just to get rid of all those problems forever?
Fucking three.
You can get 75% off?
Three. Three sounds a lot like free also. 70% off.
Quentin, what's the name of this podcast?
The First Podcast.
That's right.
Yes, and that's also the name of the checkout code at checkout. Checkout code at checkout, the first podcast, all one word, all words. That's not one ST, that's all words. Can get you 75% off at the checkout. Is that true, Joe? That seems like a lot.
I thought it was 70.
No, it's 75. That's a hell of a discount.
75?
That's the darnding discount. Oh, wow.
Nord.t1podcast.com.
I apologize for that noise, Quentin.
The first podcast.
Yeah. Nord.t1podcast.com to get
that
your
noise
Nord.
Was.
This ad's going way downhill. Let's just move on, Joe.
Can I say,
go ahead. Yeah, let our esteemed multicultural guest talk, Joe.
What? I want to say, I don't know if you can use this or if you can put this in, but, I'm very impressed with your ad reads because I also went on and maybe they'll be mad if I say this, but their ad reads were really strange because they were like arguing they were like arguing over how they could do the ad reads, and they were like
they were like
you can't say it like that, we're gonna have to fix all this in post.
He's like, Green Apron is up in my butt.
Oh, you can't say that, Charlie. They want to prove the segment. We're gonna have to fix all this later.
Thank you for this information.
That's hilarious. Can you tell us more about like how they are backstage? No, let's not.
They were all really nice. They were all really great, and I still get messages from one or two of them every once in a while. They're fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, Andrew in particular. We interviewed him. He's a great dude.
Yeah.
I enjoy everything he does. And we may have to bleep that the name of the show, but I guess it would be kind of obvious in context, so it doesn't matter at this point. Okay.
Rick, I really need to protect my internet. How can I do that, Rick?
Are we still doing a segment?
I can't tell, Joe. You got to download NordVPN, Morty. You got to get NordVPN.
The difference between the official podcast and the first podcast is we're going to leave in all like the debating and stuff. That's
really in there. Really? That's worse. I take it all back. That's worse.
Rick, what if there was a VPN, but
What if there was a VPN, but it made you gay, Rick?
Joe, shut the fuck up. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm going to have one last question, unless there's anything else you really want to get to or promote or plug or share or, you know, send out into the world, Quentin. I do have a burning question.
Yeah. Yeah, say what the question is.
Okay. So
that was our final question of the night. Thanks for joining us.
No, I didn't. I didn't say it was. No. Okay. So do you think that given the content of Garfield, the comic, the character of Jim Davis as a creator, and just kind of the general comics scope and scale, is there potential for a redemption arc?
We have never talked about this off the podcast. We have literally, we can all agree that none of you guys asked me about this before. This is just in the on the cuff. So,
nope.
Right.
I will potentially be able to answer that in two videos, which I'm currently working on. And these are videos which are in the works.
Okay.
I cannot guarantee both of these will end up being finished the way I'm describing them. But the first one is going to be me reviewing Garfield movies. And the second one, hopefully, based off of my plans, and all my, you know, I've talked with friends, the second one is going to be a Garfield fan film.
Okay.
I've written half of a Garfield fan film, and we're hoping to finish it by his birthday. And I'm actually really...
Garfield's birthday?
Yeah, Garfield's birthday, June the 19th. Don't you know this? Come on.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot my Garfield facts for the podcast. I need to bone up on that.
Get with it, bud. Buckaroo.
Yeah.
Don't bone up on it, Lars.
What?
It's going to be called Arbuckle, and it's going to be dedicated to the life of Garfield's owner, and it's going to be live action. And I don't want to spoil anything else, but I've shown it to some people, and they all think it's really funny, and I hope people will like it. And I guess it's my take on what I think a Garfield piece of media should be. Generally, I feel like Garfield can be good. It's just that he usually has the artistic merit of something on the back of a cereal box. And he's just a joke.
Who plays Garfield, by the way?
We're planning on getting Brendaniel. It's going to be...
Okay, that's exciting.
That's who I got last time, and he did a great job. I think he only has two lines.
If you don't know who that is, by the way, to the audience, you've heard him at some point on YouTube. You've heard his velvety voice. It's great.
Yeah. I had him on for the first Garfield, and it was like I couldn't do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also hoping to get Bird, B-E-R-D. I've talked to him, and he says he's cool with being on board for one of the voices.
Mm.
And it's not what you're thinking at all. It's going to be really different, and I'm really excited for that. I think you guys are going to maybe like it. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, we'll see.
Well, if you're looking for any voices in the future, Lars and I are...
I guess.
Blossoming. I
mean, that's a weird thing to ask voices. Him, like, point blank on the show.
Yeah, definitely. That's... Yeah, sure.
Moving on.
By the way, I've linked a video in the chat that is relevant to this discussion. I'm pretty sure you've probably seen it, but if not, I highly recommend you check it out.
Is it Lasagna Cat?
Yeah, it's the pipe strip one.
Oh my god, it's so great.
Yeah. Joe, I showed that to Joe a couple months ago, and he actually sat down for the full hour and just watched it straight through. It's an amazing video.
It was really good.
No, yeah, it's incredible.
It was really good.
It shouldn't work, but it does.
Absolutely.
He does an analysis of the date that's on it, 7/27/1978.
Well, he does it better than you do, Joe. Look, people should just go watch it. I'll link it in the show notes.
I tried my best to replicate that bizarre, unexplainable quality with my B-movie project. Mm-hmm. I don't think I got it anywhere near as close, but I'm still proud of that one.
Yeah. Quick question, just off the cuff. Why do you think B-movie became this random, big meme thingy?
I think I can answer that. I think it's because it's one of those things that's always in the back of our subconscious. Most people in my generation have seen it once because it came out, it was advertised everywhere, so you probably saw all the ads. But it also became one of the go-to, teacher has a hangover movies, you know? So it's always, and the reason it's become such a meme is because it is so inexplicable. In fact, it was made off of the nature of it being inexplicable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that story I've told so many times about Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
pitching it to Steven Spielberg as a joke, and it got made anyways. I think that specifically, that that story is why it's such a good meme, because it's like, it's why does this movie exist? Steven Spielberg should not have ever suggested that movie get made, and that's why it's great.
That makes sense.
And you know what? There are a lot. Here's what I should say. I've talked to some friends about this recently. Here's what I came to the conclusion of. I've often gone back and forth on whether or not I like B-movie. Here's my final conclusion.
Okay.
Out of all the movies in the world which were made to justify the premise, you know, so I'm talking like Tusk, a movie Tusk, you know, where they had this stupid idea for a movie and then they made the movie. Out of all of those movies, B-movie is the best one because it's...
Okay.
I think it's the best one. I think it's actually enjoyable, actually funny. The political points are somewhat interesting. It's a little disorganized, but it's like you can watch it, and that's a lot more than you can say for a lot of those movies.
It's a ringing endorsement from Quentin. You can watch it. You heard it here first.
It's like an actual movie.
People are talking about the Lego movie in the chat. I don't think that's the same category at all.
Jerry Seinfeld, he might have been joking, but he did say that the Lego movie ripped him off.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw it in a title of it. Like, he could have been joking.
Yeah, that sounds like a joke. I don't know, because they're nothing alike.
They're nothing alike, but they have the blank movie. So, I mean,
I guess, yeah.
According to Vanity Fair, they did an article called "Did the Lego Movie Steal from Jerry Seinfeld?" So I'm going to read that later, and then I'll report back.
So that's probably what it was. I'm probably not even remembering it right at all. He probably wasn't even involved.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. People are talking about Scary Movie, Date Movie, Disaster Movie. Yeah, he doesn't own the concept of blank movie, so that does sound like a joke, but I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I guess it's just that it's like it's an animated 3D movie and Lego Movie, Emoji Movie. That's a certain, like, it's just like recognizably a thing that B-movie also sort of occupies.
Well, you're right.
But I don't think it's anything other than that to that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Quentin, if people enjoyed the conversation we've been having and wanted to check out some more of your pop culture insights, what would be the best way to do that?
You could go to youtube.com/QuentinReviewsKitchenSinks, no spaces, QuentinReviewsKitchenSinks, or you could go to... Go on.
Go ahead.
Oh, or you could go to my subreddit is recently set up, so you can go to reddit.com/QuentinReviews, no spaces. Oh, sorry, reddit.com/QuentinReviews. Or you could follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Q_review.
All right.
I hope someone's typing all that in to make sure I said it right.
Yes. reddit.com/r/QuentinReviews.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And if someone wanted to watch the... Ooh, this is going to be fun to say. Quintessential Quentin video. Which would be the best one to watch?
The Garfield video. Released it, I think, last year in June. It's called How Garfield Lost His Magic. It's one of my proudest.
Okay.
I would really like people to see that one. And they have. It's one of my most popular.
Great. And if people wanted to find our show, Joe, they know where to find it. They can check in the show notes, I guess, if they really want to.
But just in case, it's t1podcast.com. We have our own website. We're doing just fine, Mom.
Yeah. And if people wanted to get early access to listen to this episode when it goes out and they wanted to have a premium name on the Discord, premium role, that is, I'm an idiot for saying that. And if they
go to patreon.com.
I'm still talking, Joe. Let me still talk. All right. Let me still explain the cool
Jesus
benefits for us.
Christ, fine.
Okay. So if you wanted a shout out on air, which Annalise Jones...
Annalise,
yeah, is our newest patron. And if you wanted to join in on that and get on-air shoutouts, get early access, get patron-only benefits and more, how would they do that, Joe?
Patreon.com? No, it's, patreon.com/T1podcast. Join the $2 tier.
$2?
It'll be $2 tier. Only yeah, $2. Actually, join the $100. Just join the $100 tier.
Oh, join the $100 tier first, then the $2 tier. Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, you can always lower it back down.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.
You just got to wait like 6 months.
Patreon.com/T1podcast. It helps the show succeed and it gives you cool little benefits in the interim. I think that's going to do it. Quentin, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, love to be here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very
thank
much.
You. Thank you for including your cat in some of the episode as well. We always like cute cats.
Yeah, thank you. I apologize profusely if her playing with my laptop messed up the audio. But I hope it didn't.
Yeah.
Well, and it wouldn't be T1 Podcast without something going wrong. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you calling it T1 Podcast when it's the first podcast.
I don't always come on air, but when I do...